You're listening to an audio podcast from Cherish Women's Ministry. To find out more about our yearly conference, go to thecherishconference.com.
10 years ago, Pastor Jürgen and I were on the cusp of planting this church in San Diego. We arrived in July 4th in San Diego in 2005. And I remember very vividly, before we left Australia to come to America, I was so excited with the possibilities of the things that were about to come. And I'd always looked at America so fondly. I'm not sure if you know this, but you guys are kind of a big deal around the world. Everyone in Australia wants to be here. And if you ask any kid what their one dream is, it is to go to Disneyland, okay? So, like, that is, I mean, we get sick of it. Oh my gosh, I've got passes. I never want to go again. I can't stand Mickey, you know? But the rest of the world, they're like, that is their prayer and on their every Santa Claus list they ever write. And I remember my first taste of America literally was McDonald's. And I thought, oh my gosh, God bless America. I need to go to the source of where this goodness came from. We had one McDonald's in like about a 300-mile radius, and people would drive in their cars for 8 hours to taste some of that American goodness. To the point where I worked there at 14 for 3 years. I worked at McDonald's. I never got sick of it. Everybody said, are you sick of McDonald's? I'm like, heck no. Not a chance. I could eat a Big Mac right now if you gave it to me. It's purely just the size of my butt that stops me from doing it, okay? But the taste is still there, friends. And I remember watching on television The Wonderful World of Disney. How many people are old enough to remember that? Do you remember that? And they used to have the most precious programs. And I would lie on my carpet looking at the one TV in our family home, so you can kind of understand from that illustration how long ago it was. It was only one TV in the house. We always used to fight over who got to choose what shows we'd watch. But it was a no-brainer. On Saturday night, it was going to be the wide world of Disney. And Tinkerbell would fly up over Cinderella's castle. It was just magical. And I thought, I wonder if I will ever get to go to this magical land one day in my life. We all had this desperate dream to come to America. And then later in life, Pastor Jürgen and I got to take a couple of trips over. And our first trip ever to America, we actually went to Wisconsin. Wisconsin. We went to the place where the Green Bay, we went to Green Bay. Is it called Green Bay? Yes. So I never ever watch football and I don't know how it works. But I go for the Green Bay Packers because they're the first football team I ever loved. And I have a Brett Favre signed something because we went to, is he good? Yeah, all right. Okay. So we went to a church and the pastor of the church in Green Bay was the chaplain for the Green Bay Packers. So he took us, we got to see the locker rooms and I got a little mini football with Brett Favre's signature. So I've kept it. Is it worth like $1 million? Tell me now. All right, I'm cashing that sucker in. Straight to Nordstrom's. So that was amazing and we got to taste all the beautiful food. It was like even better than a Big Mac. And I mean, life was incredible. And then we go home and Jürgen and I were obsessed with the series West Wing. Has anybody watched that? Like, I would probably disagree with everything on it now that I'm here and so politically grounded in like left and right. But at the time I was like, oh, this country is so amazing. Like the slow music would start. And then the president would say something so profound. And then the people standing around the table would have tears in their eyes and put their hands on their hearts and pledge allegiance to the flag. I'm like, I want to be a part of that nation. I want to go there. I want to go there. You know what? God must have heard me say, send me. I will go. And look where I am. The most amazing nation in the entire world with the most incredible women on planet Earth. And you know, I had a dream in my heart of what kind of a women's ministry I wanted to build in San Diego. And I know there are many people here, like I was, and women's ministry had been a negative experience for you. Go on, because we're in our pajamas and we've talked about nudity, there's nothing left. Put your hand up if that was you. If you were disenchanted with women's ministry, you were like, you know what, I could, if I ever went to another one again, it would be too soon. Well, that was me, because what I'd experienced for the most part was kind of like a catty, competitive, comparison game, gossipy, exclusive. And I just thought, you know what, I can do without that. But when I had a chance to create a women's ministry, I believed after the heart of God, I was full of beautiful, colorful dreams, desires, and ambition of what this women's ministry could look like. And my pastor, Pastor Chris, who was the best example of a healthy women's minister to me, gave me a journal called the Women Dreaming Journal. And she said, Leanne, I want you to take this journal and I want you to write in it all the things that you would like to see in the women's ministry, because the Bible says you to write the vision in the book of Habakkuk and make it plain, so that she who reads it can run with it. And I want you to write down every quality that you want to see in the women's ministry you build. And so I went about doing that and writing down all these different things. And as I was preparing for tonight's message, I came to a scripture in the book of Exodus. And I believe that it's a picture that we can look at today and see not only the intent of the enemy toward women, but the solution toward his attack. And I believe that what we're building here in San Diego disarms and uncovers and exposes the plans of the enemy, but then comes in with a counterattack. Can I tell you that Cherish Women's Ministry is a counterattack initiative? We are striving and aiming to be the antithesis of every negative association of women's ministry. That's why we fall over ourselves to have fun, to celebrate, to be transparent, to be real, because we have lived in a pretend world for far too long where women have felt like they've had to be stuffed into a box to look, perform, act a certain way. They can never be the real them, but that's not what we're going to have in the doors of C3 San Diego. Can somebody say amen? So I'm going to get into the message. The title of my message tonight is Call the Midwife. And I want to speak to you prophetically. Call the midwife. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through to 20, in the New Living Translation, this is what it says, and it's going to come up on the screen. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. This is all going to make sense soon, don't worry. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. And their names were Shipra and Puah. I'm sorry. I got a giggle after that, sorry. Somebody tell me, how do I say that without giggling? All right. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the evil king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed these babies to live?" The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. Don't you just love that? So I love this next sentence because it just throws religiosity on its head. We see that God is not arbitrary here. We see that he's not necessarily always black and white. So God was good to the midwives flying. And the Israelites continue to multiply, growing more and more powerful. Okay, all right, I'm going to break it down for us right now because I know that's a whole lot of information and you may be confused about there. This is the first attack of the enemy that we see that we can take from this passage of scripture. And so here's the thing about the enemy. He just uses the same tactics and dresses them up in different clothes. Okay, so what he was doing back then to the Israelites, he's trying to do to women today. So the first thing that the enemy does is he uses their strength to build things that oppress them. Look at this. In verse number 11, it says, so the Egyptians, or the enemy, made the Israelites, the people of God, the women of God, their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. The Israelites were forced to build the very things that were feeding their enslavement. And the first thing that I want to point out to us today is that the enemy has positioned himself in the lives of women to actually influence us and get us to build and strengthen the very things that he has set up to be our source of destruction. I want to ask us today, are we resourcing and building the things that have us enslaved? Exodus 25:40 says, be sure, this is God speaking, that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. And then Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's really clear that the world has some patterns, but God has some patterns. And the Bible tells us that we're to build according to the patterns that God has given us. But the enemy will try to get you to build according to the world's patterns in order to put you captive and enslaved. We find here that these people are having to use their strength to resource and build the ways of the enemy that ultimately was keeping them in bondage. You know, it happens to us all the time, every day in America, all around the world. The enemy wants you to feed the things that are actually enslaving you. You know, you were called to be an influencer. You were called to be an influencer. The first time we see a woman in the Bible, she is an influencer. She comes to her husband. She has an apple in her hand. And like the fool he is because she's naked, he can't say no to a naked woman. But straight away we see Eve, she comes straight onto the scene with influence. And the enemy would have it so that we use this gift, this strength of influence that God has given us to actually pervert our purpose and put us in bondage and slavery. God has made you an influencer. We look at Delilah. What's the problem with Delilah? She's simply using the strength and the purpose that God has given her as an influencer for evil instead of for good. She's just using that influence that God's given her in the means of a fallen form of influence, seduction. She's perverting that influence and becoming a seducer. She entraps Samson. She uses what God has given her to build to actually pull down. Because we've got to get really smart about this stuff. Because at Cherish, we're actually building people who know the power of their influence and use it for good and not for evil. Come on, give God a hand. That's the kind of women that we are. Because how many of you have been in buildings where you have been surrounded by women who, yes, are influencers, who, yes, have strength, who, yes, have giftings, but they've used it not to leverage other people, but to squash them. You know, I think even of Abigail in the Bible, beautiful Abigail, she was an influencer. Do you know what she used her influence for? To be a peacemaker. To be a peacemaker. You know, one of the greatest things we could do as women in the house of God is be like Abigail and be peacemakers. And it's not hard to stir the hornet's nest if you want to stir the hornet's nest. Oh, we're so, you know, we can do anything with the gossip of our mouth. We can do anything with the words that God has given us. Are we going to use those words to build, or are we going to use them to tear people down? You know, God spoke to me very strongly because I am a woman, okay? I have some bents. I have a bent toward enjoying a bit of gossip. And so I used to love reading the tabloid magazines. Love it. Great way to check out of, you know, being obsessed with your own problems by digging into somebody else's. And so I'd read the tabloid magazines, and it didn't stop there. Then I started watching the Real Housewives series. Oh, and I just thought that was hilarious. Oh, let's have some fun. Let's get entertained by the dysfunction of our neighbors. And I remember God rebuking me so strongly and saying to me, Leanne, I have actually called you to be part of the solution, but how can you be part of the solution if you're being entertained by the problem? I need you to step up, and I need you to not conform to the pattern of this world that leaves women using their strength to keep them in bondage. I need you to step up and live higher. And maybe I'm not talking about boycotting today, but I wonder if we'd have more influence and better lives if we got rid of some of that trash out of our diets. And listen, there but for the grace of God, go I know. But I want to tell you today, my life has only gone upwards. My voice has only reached further. My influence has only done greater things when I decided to not allow myself to be enslaved by the things that God was calling me to deliver people out of. Don't let the devil use your strength to keep you captive. Can somebody say amen? I think of Deborah in the Bible. See, there's a lie out there that women aren't meant to be influencers. Oh, they're not meant to be influencers in the church. They're not meant to have a voice. They can't say anything. Have you read the Old Testament? Before Jesus even was manifest on the earth, okay, and the new covenant and the cross and the grace and all that. Before that, Deborah was up there leading the charge, using her influence, women, for good and not for evil. She actually brought about a great victory because of the words she spoke. In a climate of war, Deborah spoke faith and put courage into the heart of people around her. Your influence can either build people or it can pull them down. I want to say to us today, Cherish Women's Ministry is a ministry that is part of the solution, not contributing to the problem. Can somebody say amen? The second thing that we see here is that they put them on the works treadmill. Look at this. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in their demands. I'm telling you, this spirit still exists today in the world, in the church, and definitely is one that the enemy strategically uses to keep women in bondage. And it is one that we will address and expose time and time again at Cherish Women's Ministry. You know, there is a perception out there that there is kind of like a superwoman that we all can try to be. Like she's this ethereal woman who breastfed her babies till they were 2 years old. That was after a home birth, y'all. No drugs, no drugs, no drugs. You know, she's never so much as let a preservative pass her lips. She loves kale, okay? Kale is her favorite food. She just eats it up. You know, she's doing all these amazing things and charity work, and her husband adores her, and, you know, her house is always spotless, and she never has a worry, and her kids are always well-behaved and always look people in the eyes when they're talking to them, and she never gets called out in church with a number never flashes on the screen. I mean, that would never happen to her. And so many of us can get caught up in this marathon on the treadmill of the mirage of the superwoman, and we're trying so hard they're working, but they're getting no satisfaction, they're getting no joy, and in fact, it is causing them to become bitter. And we look around, and as we try to chase this illusion, this superwoman, it makes us bitter, it makes us resentful, it makes us compare ourselves, it makes us compete with the women around us, and more than anything, it convinces us when we can't be her that somehow we are fundamentally flawed. Wow. And you know what? That's what I thought about myself. You know, I came to America and you all are gorgeous, okay? Gorgeous. And I came to America with unpedicured everything. And, you know, there's just something about an American woman, okay? She knows how to glam it up big time. Now, listen, I know that I have been baptized into the spirit of the American woman. And I am fabulous today, okay? It took some time. I still don't know how to curl my own hair. Thank God for Pastor Becky and Kayla. But I'm getting there, all right? But I remember coming and feeling so inadequate, so incredibly inadequate. And you'll find that when you chase after these works, when you get on that works treadmill that so many women have the temptation to jump on, you end up just feeling inadequate. Inadequate. And I believe that inadequacy is really the seedbed or the platform for anxiety. So many women suffering with anxiety today because they feel inadequate. I can't do it all. I can't be it all. That's right, you can't. You were never meant to be the whole body. You were just meant to be part of it. You were meant to be part of it. And God actually says, you know what? In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. When you have a flaw, it gives me an opportunity to step in and fill the gap. I'm telling you, I wasted too many years not liking me. And I would look around and I would think, if only I could be like that pastor's wife. If only I had the discipline to write 20 Bible studies like Beth Moore. If only I could write songs like Samantha Evans. Oh, you know, I've tried to write songs, okay? Exactly. And I was on the dang treadmill, guys. Who knows? Maybe I will write. I will write a freaking song. You guys. No. But my agenda was, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I've got to be like them. Remember freaking out about the house. The house had to be perfect all the time. Heaven forfend if someone comes over and there's a sock on the floor. They'll think I'm a terrible... And I had my... Talk about not only did I get bitter, but I made my family bitter and resentful. My poor husband couldn't sit on the couch. We had these couches that we bought. They were so cheap, so they were kind of like held together with a wing and a prayer. But they looked amazing after they'd been vacuumed and puffed. And Jürgen would come home from work and just want to be relaxed. I'd be like, no, do not sit on the couch. And come to think of it, do not walk on the carpet. In fact, you know what, you just better leave, you know, like out the door. And then that carried on. My poor kids. I wouldn't let my eldest son go outside till after he was 2 because I didn't want him to get dirty. Like, I was so affected by this image thing and this works thing, and it had me in such bondage. But I want to tell you today, ladies, God has set me free. He set me free. I am here in my pajamas. I am here in my pajamas, the real me, and God can set you free. It's just a simple prayer. God, I know I can't do everything, but I know through you I can do all things. I surrender my life to you today. I'm not going to get stressed and worried and anxious about things that I cannot change, but I know that you are a good father. You are the potter who has me on his wheel, and you are molding me and shaping me, and I will be developed into the person you created me to be in due time. And until then, I'm going to get really happy and really content. Can somebody say amen? And the last thing. If I could ask our musos to come back up, because I'm going to pray for some people tonight. So we've come as a women's ministry to get women to use their influence in a godly way to build the people around them. We've come as a women's ministry to set people free from that burden of having to strive to be something when God has already called them his chosen, cherished treasure. He is well pleased with you. If you never did another thing, God is so happy with you. You're his child. He loves you so much. He wants you to be set free from that anxiety, that shame, that inadequacy you're carrying today, and just be you. Just be really happy at being you. There are women here today and you need to go home and you need to do something. You need to pull out a journal and you need to start to write everything you like about you. Because sometimes we wait for other people to tell us. But till the rest of the human race is getting around to the encouragement thing that God has been screaming from heaven for a really long time, you know what I've learned to do? I've learned to do what King David did, and that's encourage myself in the Lord. You know, we curse ourselves as women far too often. We stand in front of the mirror and we say, you're fat, you're ugly, you're flawed, you're not a good housewife. Oh, you're a terrible mother. Look at this mother. You can't compare to her. Look how many things she's making for the bake sale. Look how much she volunteers at the school. Oh my gosh, I've got a woman. She feels like my nemesis at Santa Fe. Every time I'm there, I see her and she's like surrounded by people doing things, and she's on every committee and she stands above me like a judge. And she never put that on me. I put that on me. I made an idol of this woman. And so many of us have done that, and then we start resenting them and all that kind of thing. But some of us need to go home and we need to get a piece of paper and we just need to write down all the things about ourselves that we love. What do you like about you? Because God made you unique and special. And God, I found, is a really sensitive artist. He doesn't like anybody criticizing his work. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So some of us need to just not conform to the pattern of this world, and that's to put ourselves down and to curse ourselves and to point out everything that's wrong with ourselves. And not in a proud or arrogant way, write out what's really great about you. What are your strengths? What are you good at? What do you bring to this world? Because I can guarantee every woman in this building has something unique to contribute. You may not have everything, but that doesn't matter. You were never called to have everything. That would be boring. You need to have a bit of a flaw, otherwise people will really hate you, okay? You got to have at least have like bad feet or a wart on your nose or something, okay? So lastly, and I believe the most insidious attack of the enemy that God is calling us to reverse at Cherish Women's Ministry is this one. It says here in this passage of scripture, they were ruthless in their demands. Then Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. Somebody say, call the midwife. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. And if the baby is a boy, kill him. And if it is a girl, let her live. Okay, so the most insidious attack of all is turning women against women. Turning women against women. Midwives, the ones who were called to deliver the gift, who were called to pull forth the life on the inside of the other person. The enemy calls them and says, hey, I know you were called to deliver life. And see, that's when the enemy sneaks into the church. Hey, if I can't get them on the works treadmill, if I can't get them to use their influence and their strength to build something, the resources, the enemy, if they finally make it to church, then I'm going to grab the ear of the midwife. Let me just tell you that every single one of you tonight, including myself, we are called to be midwives. And I'm going to try to arrest the ear of the midwife. And when she sees that woman coming in who has a big dream, when she sees that woman coming in with the gift, when she sees that woman coming in who seems to have everything that she wants, when she sees that woman coming in with hope in her heart, when she sees that woman coming in with a song in her voice, the enemy whispers, kill her. Kill her. Kill her. Don't let her live. Kill her. And that is the deepest cry that has come out of the women's ministries from around the world. The perverted midwives who have listened to the voice of the enemy, kill her. kill her. But what I love about these midwives is they refused to do the bidding of the enemy. They refused to listen to his voice. And I would say today, under the Spirit of the Lord, what kind of woman has God called to C3 San Diego? He's called the good kind of midwife who comes alongside the women, who helps deliver the greatness from the outside of her. Even when the enemy whispers, you should be jealous, you should put a spear through her, you should put a dagger in her heart, she shouldn't be that happy, she shouldn't be that blessed, she shouldn't dream that big, kill her, kill her. That you stand up and you say, no, I will not kill what God has designed and destined me to bring to life. I am not a murderer, I am a deliverer. I am someone who stands before what God has called to come forth out of other women. I am going to bring it out of them. I'm going to call forth the greatness on the inside of them. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be envious. I'm not going to be hateful or resentful. I am going to deliver her baby, her gifting, her miracle, her destiny, her dream, as if it were my very own. Can somebody shout amen and hallelujah as you get this today? We're bringing down the plans of the enemy today. We're bringing them down. We're exposing them for what they are. Call the midwife. You are all called to be midwives. I remember Pastor Jürgen and I having a vision before we came here of people pregnant. And on further inspection, we saw in the vision that the people who were pregnant were not just women. Women, men, teens, people ranging in various ages. But the babies in their bellies were not babies that were like 8 months in utero, 6 months in utero. There were babies sometimes that were like 2-3 years old that nobody had ever delivered. That is the dream. That's why God sent us here, because there are dreams on the inside of you and they've stayed locked up on the inside of you. But God is raising up an army of midwives who are saying today, I'm going to help you deliver what God has called you to carry and give birth to. Can somebody say amen? And I love this, and this sums up Cherish. And the names of the midwives, of course, were Pua, right? And Shapara. But thank God they had better meanings. And this is who we are. Get ready. Radiant, bright, and pleasant. What's the dream? A dream, a company of women who are radiant, bright, and pleasant, who are committed to calling forth the greatness and bringing out the gifting in the women that God sends us, not being resentful, not being jealous, not being threatened. You know, this is what it says. But because the midwives fear God, they refuse to obey the king's orders. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? Why have you allowed these babies to live? And the Hebrew women, and then they replied, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. The midwives replied, they are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. And I love that because it just so like punches in the face any religious spirit. So basically God is saying every now and then you can tell a white lie if it's for a good purpose. Write that down. Okay. And then it says, so God was good to the midwives. Some of you need to hear this today. And let me tell you why you need to hear this. Where's Ruth Ruckel? Stand up. This is a word for you. Some of you need to hear this because some of you have acted really beautifully in spite of what has been done to you. And I want to highlight this woman today because she is a lover of women. She is a releaser of women. She is a believer in women. She prays for women. She ministers to them. But it was something that was not extended to her. And I love this scripture because it says, and God saw and was good to these women. And there are women here today and people have been mean to you. But I'm telling you right now, God sees you and you. God is the Lord of your harvest. The devil can't steal your harvest. Your harvest is coming because it's not in the hands of man. It's in the hands of the Lord. And God has seen what you have done in the secret place and the quiet place. when it wasn't done to you, because you're fulfilling the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have had done unto you. Not as you have had done unto you, because then we'd all be screwed, basically. So you have to be the antithesis of that. You have to step out in a world where there was no one believing in you, and there was no one cheering on you, and there was no one opening doors for you, and there was no one speaking and calling out the greatness on the inside of you, but you're going to do it to the people around you, knowing that your Father in heaven sees what is done in secret and will reward you openly for your faithfulness and your goodness. Can someone say amen?
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.